All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
In honor of Connor McDavid's 6 assists, you will all watch me take 6 bites out of this apple.
I'll just get into it with a lead. I didn't think that went through at all. It'll take me way too long. I'm sorry to everyone listening in podcast form while I chew. Liam Horobin, everybody.
Keep it 4 more bites, Tyler.
I know. Well, that means you have to start the show again.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oilers Nation Every Day. Coming up within this next hour, we have the moment of the game, the giant question, Frank Saravalli, and Betway, and much, much more. Like yesterday, head over to the Oilers Nation YouTube channel, which you all should be on already because we're live on YouTube, and leave a comment in the Charm Diamond Center YouTube chat. First comment of the day. Let's scroll to the top. It's from Owen Poser. Big dubs last night. Holloway is legit. If he can make an impact in the top six, that saves his team greatly from having to spend big assets to get a top six winger. Maybe you still need one regardless. Then he followed it up with 6 apples from the goat.
All right. I'm almost done chewing my 6th bite.
Perfect. Also coming up on today's show, we have Liam's game along with 3 reviews with pictures.
People are going to want to see the reviews with the pictures. It's very funny. You did a very good job, Liam. Welcome into the show. As always, live from the Sports Closet studio. Check them out at sportscloset.ca. 6 bites of that apple took me a lot longer than I thought it would. But Liam, you did an excellent job teeing everybody up for what we're getting to today on the program. Let's talk about that game last night a little bit. Yes, we'll get to the Charm Diamond Center YouTube chat. We got a short for giant question, all that stuff. But that's a weird game to have to break down, Liam. When you sat through 40 minutes last night, and I even tweeted it, it was like neither side's going to be calling this one a Picasso. Connor McDavid took that heap of junk and kind of single-handedly turned it into a Picasso himself in the third period. He was absolutely unbelievable. And I mean, there aren't that many more Oilers you could say were unbelievable in that hockey game. It was a weird one. They played bad through 40 minutes. And yet you look at an 8-4 score to end the game and it's like, oh shit, that's kind of exactly what I wanted. I wanted that fire wagon, high scoring Oilers hockey to return, and son of a bitch, we got it.
Yeah. The only other player you can say that played well, I think, for 60 minutes was Stuart Skinner, right? Like in that second period, he was absolutely bombarded with shots. It was quite ridiculous, actually, what happened in the second period. It was a very poor display from the Oilers. But yeah, if it wasn't for Connor McDavid showing that he can literally beat any player in the league whenever he wants, doing whatever he wants in the third period, then we might be talking about an Oilers loss, because if that second period had pushed its way into the third, then we would have been screwed.
Lance is over in the chat and says, do we want 8-4 wins or 2-1 wins? The answer is yes. Yeah, I mean, wins are wins, and wins are wins are wins are wins. Like, I get it. 100%. And I wanted goals. This is only the third time since the start of January the Oilers have scored more than 4 goals in a hockey game. Like, I liked seeing the offense return for this team. 6 assists from Connor McDavid. It's absolutely mind-blowing how good he was in the third period. Really, how good he was all night. Another guy who I might give a bit of a passing grade to is Bouchard, but Connor McDavid, one of those assists was his 600th. And when you look at least amount of games played to get to 600 assists, McDavid did it in the 4th fastest time in NHL history, which, I mean, to get 600 assists in 616 games is insane to begin with. But also, when the only guys who've done it faster are these three and you adjust for era, it's even more mind-blowing. Like, Wayne Gretzky's in a league of his own, but like, for McDavid to be this close, and by this close, I mean 8 games to Bobby Orr, to even be within 100 of Mario Lemieux adjusting for era, is crazy.
Yeah, and it seems like every single time one of these lists pops up, it's just those three, right? And it just shows how great Connor McDavid is and just how special of a time this is for Oilers fans. And the fact we have 2 players on that list that this city has been able to watch have so much success is quite special, I guess. I couldn't think of the word. Like, very unique, obviously, and we should be very grateful for what we're able to watch from this guy every night. But it was after the game, Louis and Jack were talking about it, and Jack said to Louis that every time McDavid gets close to one of these milestones, he doesn't just land on it that night. He absolutely blows past it. It seems like it's remarkable. And now we're less than 100 points away from 1,000. He's not going to hit it this year, very likely, but very soon, Connor McDavid is going to be a 1,000-point player before 700th game, obviously. Maybe even like 670.
I mean, hey, he's 650. He's got 34 games until 650. He needs 73 points. If there's anyone who can average north of 2 points per game over a 30-some game run, it's probably Connor McDavid. So, yeah.
In his last 36, Connor McDavid has 67 points.
I mean, a 6-point night definitely boosts up those numbers quite a bit. The other thing it did is, listen, it didn't get him close in the scoring race, but he can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. 13 points back of Nikita Kucherov right now, Liam. What do you think? Do you think Connor can do it?
Yes, I do think he can do it. I think, how can you say no, right? Like, this guy is capable of, he had 4 assists in the third period yesterday. He can just pull the rabbit out of the hat whenever he wants and just go at it. And I think with how many games the Oilers have left in such a short period of time, is actually going to benefit him quite a bit, just being able to like stay in that rhythm over and over and over again. And these games are against huge opponents. Like, we still have to play LA a couple of times. There's still a game against Vancouver. Like, there's tons of games coming up that the Oilers need big wins against, and they're against other players that people are comparing Connor McDavid to. And I think sometimes that as well boosts his want to maybe have a better night than he usually would, I guess you could say. So I think he's right there. And I mean, look, no disrespect to Kucherov or McKinnon, but I feel like it's more likely that one of those two maybe slows down a little bit rather than McDavid slows down.
It's also worth noting, and who just said it here in the chat, Philip, 13 points back with 5 less games played. Yeah, the Oilers have 5 games in hand on Tampa Bay and 5 games in hand on the Colorado Avalanche. So 2 points a game over those 5 games, and Connor McDavid is right there in the race. Dackey is in, says, really digging the color of Tyler's shirt today. Well, it's Valentine's Day. I thought I'd dress for the occasion. My friends at Greta hooked me up with a nice pink t-shirt, and I figured, hey, I don't get a chance to wear it all that often, so why not?
I don't have anything pink, unfortunately.
You have nothing pink.
Just my old Barbie outfit, which is locked away. Nobody wanted that for a second time, Tyler.
I had multiple pink shirts to choose from, Liam. How about that? I could have lent you one. You should have said something.
I only have Nation gear and Crusaders gear. That's my only items in my wardrobe.
I somewhat relate to that. All right, I want to get into what people are saying over on the Charm Diamond YouTube chat. Charm Diamond Center is proudly Canadian owned. Check out their large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and don't pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing. OAC, Charm Diamond Center's home of the pro pose. There were some people making some noise a couple of minutes ago in the chat about Ryan Nugent Hopkins and us saying that. Oh, and Liam's gone. Bye-bye.
I'm here. God damn it. My camera again.
Like a ghost. There's some people in here saying, you know, we got to give some love to Ryan Nugent Hopkins. OJ Gaze is in. Nuge finally decided to start shooting the puck. If he doesn't keep shooting, he will slump again. Amen on that. Nuge was definitely firing the puck too. JR though, Nuge was good and you guys were ragging on him. Okay, let's clear that up a little bit. Were we ragging on Nugent Hopkins or were we just pointing out the fact that the team wasn't scoring at 5-on-5 and Nuge wasn't scoring at 5-on-5? What did we get yesterday from the Oilers? Well, we got, I believe, all 8 5-on-5 goals and Ryan Nugent Hopkins obviously in the mix on two of them, but he hadn't scored a 5-on-5 goal in like 13 games before this. So was it great to see Nuge get off the schneid? Absolutely. I loved it. This goal right here, unbelievable. Like, if McDavid didn't steal the show, this was going to be the highlight of the night. Checked all the vintage Nugent Hopkins boxes as well. The shot, low blocker, the double fist pump celebration. Beautiful stuff from our boy Ryan Nugent Hopkins. But let's just... The criticism was not out of place here. Ryan Nugent Hopkins was struggling. Ryan Nugent Hopkins wasn't shooting the puck. And the team as a whole was not scoring at 5-on-5. So I loved what I saw from Nuge. And I hope this is a sign. And I said it yesterday. I think Nuge can be a 25 to 30 goal guy on a consistent basis. And to get back to that pace, all he needs to do is one of those runs where he scores 4 or 5 goals over a 7-8 game stretch. Well, maybe this is the start of that stretch. But full marks 100% to Ryan Nugent Hopkins for playing as well as he did yesterday and snapping out of the streak. But the criticism was deserved of Ryan Nugent Hopkins. The criticism was deserved of this whole team scoring at 5-on-5. And again, deserved. Even when they were winning, they weren't scoring enough at 5v5. Last night's going to help your numbers, though. And it is wildly impressive to sit here and look at a game recap that has an 8 in the goal column and a 0-for-0 in the power play column as well. Connor McDavid had 6 points last night and didn't even get a chance on the power play. And I also think there's another one where, or another point to this with McDavid and his 6-point night. If we want to turn attention to that a little bit more, he almost got an assist on that Zach Hyman goal. He was the one pressuring Ben Chiarot coming around the back of the net. Chiarot put it right on Dreisaitl's tape. I thought for a second they were going to give McDavid an apple on that just because he provided the pressure. I thought maybe there was a case to be made that he, you know, made a whack on the puck at the last second before Chiarot turned it over. This is also just an all-time terrible shift by Ben Chiarot, who Detroit pays a lot of money to be a lot better than this. That dumb little chip off the glass that was just going nowhere and then throwing one right on Dreisaitl's tape is an absolutely insane sequence of events. But that game last night, like, if we want to talk a little bit about the negatives here, both the Oilers and Red Wings, neither side really wanted that one through 40 minutes. It was a battle of who could turn over the puck last, basically. Like, even that David Perron goal to end the game for the Wings, like, the Oilers were just slapping it around. Nugent Hopkins had a bad turnover that resulted in the game tying goal in the second period. Like, that was not a clean 8-4 win.
No, it was not. It was really all over the place, wasn't it? So, yeah, sorry, I'm kind of coming in the middle of this. This laptop, Tyler, it just so inconsistent with me. I don't get it. It's like the Edmonton Oilers. One night is great. The next night, you really don't know what you're going to get.
Squishy for breakfast says, Wings are Oilers light. Tyler Mulick, yeah, no empty netters either. That was 8 goals that you get full marks for scoring all of them.
5-on-5.
Yeah, Jason said, what was that about our 5v5 game? LOL. And yeah, all of a sudden, like we were saying, they had only scored 5 5v5 goals in their last five games going into last night. Well, now all of those numbers look great because you just popped home eight in one game. Maynard Nugent, someone in the chat. I like the change to your name here. How about Holloway going full on Mission Impossible leap on his goal? Hey, that was impressive, man. Dylan Holloway. I called it on pre-gaming with Boardsy, although I did say that it would be Holloway scoring with McLeod and Fogle on the ice, but Dylan Holloway, nose for the net. That was this was also fantastic to see Dylan Holloway get off the schneid to an extent.
Yeah, he needed one, didn't he? And he was almost a, I don't want to call it a vintage Dylan Holloway goal because he has like eight in his career, but like the way he scored it was a way I would fully expect it. It was just like full on effort and just doing whatever it takes to kind of get the puck in the back of the net. And it's interesting now, isn't it? Who's the other player on that line? It was McDavid and was it Hyman to start the period?
Oh, yeah.
Holloway can maybe find a role in that top six, and that really does kind of adjust a few things to coming into the deadline. Like, but it was interesting. They broke up that third line, and then all of a sudden, a bit of offense was sparked throughout the team. Like, I don't know. I really don't think that third line can be part of it. And the second line, although it started the game very, very well, it really fell apart in the second period, I found. And we didn't see Perry that much in the third, I noticed.
No, yeah, that was weird as well. Like, Chris Knobloch was kind of going to the blender at some points, but then switching back. And it wasn't like he changed his lines. He was just kind of randomly giving guys shifts with each other. There was seemingly no rhyme or reason to all of that. We do need to address this. Mike put it in the YouTube chat. What about our man, Cody Ceci, who got the scoring going? Burn the map. Cody Ceci is on his way back home, and all it took was him banking one in off of a Detroit Red Wings skate. I'll be honest, when I saw this, I was just sitting there waiting for the replay, being like, please, please don't hit Nugent Hopkins. Like, I wanted that to go in and be credited to Cody Ceci so bad. His first goal since game two of last season. So Cody Ceci is off the schneid, and it was great to see. He can turn around. He had made it all the way into Saskatchewan in terms of kilometers skated between goals, but Cody Ceci, come on home, big guy.
What a funny little bit we had going on here. There he is. What's that? Plunkett, Saskatchewan. Cody Ceci made it to probably the first and last time we'll ever go, I hope. 127th game. Just, yeah, you know what? Like, he does that a lot, right? He throws a lot of pucks on net to his credit, but to have a 2-point night, and he said in his post game interviews, like, felt like I just scored my first NHL goal again because it had been so long. So good for him. I thought he had a good game overall, to be honest, yesterday.
A lot to talk about from that hockey game, obviously. Connor McDavid's 6 assists are a massive story, and that is where we're going to go with our moment of the game for Douglas Mattresses. I've got my Douglas for a couple of weeks now. I am sleeping like a baby consistently. You can experience their industry-leading risk-free trial. I'm telling you, you won't need it, but it's 365-night risk-free trial. If you don't like it, they will give you a full refund, no questions asked. There's no reason to not take a chance on a Douglas mattress. You can order today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. Their mattresses are handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. Why not? You need a new mattress? Support a locally owned and operated Edmonton company, not just Canada, not just Alberta, an Edmonton operated company at Douglas Mattress. That's douglas.ca/OilersNation. Liam, the moment of the game. It's the highlight of the night. It's Connor McDavid's assist to Evander Kane. This was an absolute beauty and one of those things that only Connor McDavid can do.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it? It's just one of those wow moments. And what did he say in his interview with Gene? He was like, yeah, Evander Kane made a good play going to the net. It's like, buddy, you literally span around and did a backhand pass across the crease. Just crazy from him. But yeah, it was the third period from McDavid was something special. And this was a good way to cap it off, but he still had one more to go. But this was definitely the highlight of it.
It was unreal. And also, just again, back to Detroit, because I think they played terribly. What were they doing here? Everyone just kind of looked at Evander Kane as he walked his way into the slot. I thought that was weird. One of the many goals where it's like, what in the world are the Wings doing? As it runs back again, Aaron, can we get it with sound? Because the Detroit announcer is funny.
25 or more each of the past three seasons. Dreisaitl getting the helper.
Oh, jeez.
And again, they score again.
Oh, geez.
Before the goal even goes in, just like, oh, geez.
I'm with him. That must be, we should really go back and whenever this happens again and hear something, just find the commentary from the other guy. That was so funny. Oh, geez.
Let's run it again. One more time, Aaron. I want to listen to it again. I think it's so funny.
For each of the past three seasons. Dreisaitl getting the helper.
Oh, jeez.
And again, they score again.
Oh, he hasn't even like made the pass yet. Oh, geez. That is very, very good. There you go. Your moment of the game for Douglas Mattresses. The nastiest of the six assists from Connor McDavid was that helper to Evander Kane. If we want to talk about guys who had a good night, I thought Evan Bouchard, full marks to him as well. He would be near the top in terms of best Oilers. He racked up a whole bunch of points. I thought early on in that game, he had one bad turnover where he kind of just, he was in front of the net and he whacked it right to a guy's tape. And it led to a shot on goal. But outside of that one moment, I actually thought Bouchard made two or three really nice defensive plays. His goal came at a time when the game was still tight as well. He racked up, I think, five shots on goal. I cashed my bet. So again, finally, even strength points from Evan Bouchard. I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, I thought he was solid. Nice to see him back with Ekholm. I think that's just a defensive pairing you can't really get rid of now, right? Like, that's the one that's got to stay there. So yeah, he played well. You can always tell when Bouchard's in his zone a little bit. And it comes in the offensive zone when he's actually like shooting the puck and not holding on to it too long. Like, I found against Vegas, he was maybe doing that. But I thought he was pretty solid yesterday too. And he got a nice goal there, jumping up and getting right in the slot.
Yeah, full marks to Bouchard. So him and Ekholm last night played 17 minutes and 49 seconds together at 5v5. When they were on the ice, they outshot the opposition 17-7, and the score was 3-1. In 12 minutes on the ice with Connor McDavid, with Bouchard and McDavid on the ice, the score was 4-1 in favor of the Edmonton Oilers. So if there was ever any doubt about who the true top pairing is for the Edmonton Oilers, that right there, man. Bouchard and Ekholm with another solid, solid game. What else do we got going on here? David is in. Would have been great to have Klim back for sure. I didn't notice Klim costing a lot last night.
And he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he got hurt. Phillip says he doesn't look like the same player. Yeah, he didn't. He, again, I miss him because of the vibes. That guy's not worth $2 million.
No, he is. He's definitely not worth that much money. No. God damn it. What is happening to me today, Tyler? Nope,
Liam's gone.
I'm falling apart over here.
This needs to get sorted out before we get to Liam's game later on in the show. Liam's going to give you a chance to win $25 to Nation Gear in a little bit. We got a Sherwood Ford Giant question to get to later on in the show as well. So still plenty going on today on Oilers Nation every day. But for now, let's head out to the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating business. They've been working within the community for over 20 years, and many of the homes built in Edmonton over the last two decades, they got that Star Mechanical stamp on them. If you want to find out more about Star Mechanical, or maybe you need to get into their 24/7 emergency services, you can visit them online at starmechanical.ca. Frank Saravalli is our daily face-off insider, and he joins us every single Wednesday, and he still won't put on a damn pink shirt to match me.
I told you I would, but I don't own any.
Ah, well, then that's just a whole different problem. Frank, we've spent the bulk of the first 20 minutes of this show talking about Connor McDavid's dominant performance last night. Six apples for the Oilers captain, 13 points back in Nikita Kucherov, five games in hand. Connor McDavid's not out of the scoring race, right?
No, I think he's going to win it.
Woo! I like that.
I mean,
why not?
History, his torrid March pace in his career. I think even at, you know, during stretches of this 18 game or whatever game winning streak, however many it was, nearly 18 games, that he was really good. But the fact that for a huge chunk of it, he didn't lead the team in scoring, I think to me tells you that there's still a lot more left in the tank.
Something Liam and I have been doing over the last couple of weeks to get ready for the deadline is throwing up just a couple of mock trades, some deals that we could maybe see the Oilers make. You handled that task today on Daily Faceoff Live, playing a little Love Doctor, deadline matchmaker
on Valentine's Day, and one of your deals involved the Edmonton Oilers reuniting with a former friend in Jordan Eberle. I think, AB, if we could flash up the deal right now just to get a bit of a visual on it. But Frank, do you actually think Eberle makes sense as a deadline target for the Oilers?
100%. I wouldn't do it inauthentically.
Fair.
Or unauthentically. And first off, it wouldn't be Valentine's Day without rekindling an old flame. I mean, how many people today are just going to be drunk dialing an ex from high school? Probably somewhere in the YEG, someone will be.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, when you think about the Oilers and their quest for one additional top six forward, if you're going to find someone, you'd prefer for them to be a right winger or right shooting forward. You'd prefer for them to be pass first. And Jordan Eberle checks a lot of those boxes. Then I think you add in the storyline, the unfinished business, and a potential comfortability with a couple of your star players. I think that really means something. And I think when you look back to last year and the Oilers' playoff run, the injuries to Hyman and Kane, not saying those are going to happen again, but those were hugely problematic for the Oilers against the Golden Knights. And Eberle would be some really valuable additional insurance. And I think when you take a look at that deal, that it's not really an exorbitant price to pay. 75% retained. You've got to move that late first round pick, most likely. But then the rest of it is just window dressing. Raphael Lavoie, give Seattle a little something, something for them retaining half. And then you got to get a third party broker involved, most likely, given the Oilers cap situation. Move Matthias Janmark and, you know, sprinkle a little fourth round pick there. Like, this is pie in the sky. And this is the fun part about playing Dr. Love and the matchmaker, is you get to do that. But I think Eberle makes a ton of sense to come back. And I think the narrative that existed about Jordan Eberle by this previous Oilers management regime was an absolute crock of shit. Was he good in the Oilers run in 17? No, he wasn't. But has Jordan Eberle proven himself to be a bona fide playoff player? Of course he has. Look at his numbers since he left. 63 games, 40, is it 45 or 49 points? His playoff average in those 63 games, nearly an entire season of regular season hockey, it's better point per game wise than his actual regular season career average. So he's proven himself to be a really good playoff player. I just like every facet of this type of deal for Edmonton.
Yeah, all the people in the chat right now who are like, oh, not a playoff guy. You're living in 2017. Like, that. Go look at his last couple of runs, not just with the Kraken, but with the Islanders as well. We had another comment in there, Frank, that said, oh, if you're giving up that much for Eberle, just go get Guentzel. But this is a seller's market. Like, you're going to have to pay up for what you want. And I know you're going to agree with me because we did a show earlier today, but like, Guentzel's not going for just one first round
pick. No chance. You're giving up a first round pick plus another really high pick plus a grade A prospect. He's on another level. And that's why I think Eberle makes more sense. He's a really nice check down option. And when you consider that Eberle had 63 points last year, he's on track for about 49 and 15 goals this year. The production is certainly less than Guentzel, but it's not that much less to warrant a way significant acquisition price payment in comparison, in my opinion.
Yeah. Is Liam around? Liam, are you alive?
What do you think of the price, by the way?
I would pay it for Jordan Eberle. Like, I'm sitting there, first round pick, you're hoping it's pick 28 to 32 or somewhere in that range. And at some point, if you're the Oilers, like, it'd be great to get a guy with term. And Liam and I have talked about Lawton and Jenner and adding a third center, but I don't think this is insane. A first round pick for one of the better rental forwards on the market makes sense. Raph Lavoie is a guy who cleared waivers. If that's the cost to get Seattle to keep a big chunk of money and make this happen, sure. Fourth round pick, couldn't care less about a fourth round pick. Liam, would you do this?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the best player in a deal. for what would it be, like a million something, right? If you retain everything, like I believe it would make the Oilers better. I don't see why they wouldn't want to have him in the lineup.
Yeah, the only thing that, you know, they would probably still need a defenseman at some point, but I don't think the Oilers are heading into this deadline only making one move.
Well, I was going to say, at that acquisition cost, you still have other chips left to make stuff happen.
Yeah, you could potentially move on from a Broberg. You could move on from an Xavier Borgo. You have your second round pick, too. What do you make of the idea of potentially moving on from a Holloway or a Broberg if the deal is right? I think Holloway is untouchable. Broberg, I'm hesitant on, but he's not untouchable for me. Where do you think the Oilers will come out on some of those high-end prospects?
I think moving either one of those players would be a big mistake. I think what we've seen from Broberg, how highly motivated he is in the AHL, I think you have to give him a chance, and I think you have to do it sooner rather than later to ensure that you don't lose him, meaning you have a guy that's disgruntled and doesn't want to be in your organization to begin with. And that would be worse off, I think, than moving him in return for some significant capital. And maybe we've already crossed that Rubicon. Maybe that's already happened, because there was the idea of, his agent being granted permission to speak to teams, you know, back in December. And there was a frustrated player who felt like he had earned more opportunity, or at least to get an opportunity elsewhere. So I'm a big Broberg believer when you look at how this season has played out since then, going down to the AHL. And I just think Holloway, with his speed, you made this point with me yesterday. You need players, if you're the Oilers, that are contributing on cheap contracts. It's a fact of life in the salary cap era, but it's especially true when you are in full-on contender mode. And they've got to be important contributors. They can't just be, hey, we're stocking our third and fourth, or just our fourth line and our third D pair. With that, they need to be authentic, real contributors. And I think Holloway and Broberg can play their way into that category if they, you know, Holloway's case hasn't already.
Yeah,
I agree. I too. Frank, I think something's become very obvious with this team recently, and it's that Warren Fogle can't play without Leon Draisaitl. I think that third line with him and McLeod and Holloway is terrible, if I have to be truthful about it. Do you think there's a world where the Oilers just move on from Fogle to allow them to upgrade on that second line position or somewhere? Like, if he's not able to do it without Draisaitl, then is he worth his cap hit, you know?
He isn't to me, to answer your question. I could see them being in a position where they've made that same determination and then he's more or less just a cap casualty. And to be fair, he was on our trade targets board at the very beginning of the season, because if the Oilers were going to make a big move, Fogle would have easily been one of those guys that they're just like, yeah, he's not playing up to his cap hit. Got to do something. We're in a dollar in, dollar out scenario. So he was there. Then he played his way off of it. I think the only really nice part about having Fogle is you do have some break glass in case of emergency, which is if everything else goes to shit, then you can just go back to that if you want to. And that's a nice thing to have, but only if you can't find an upgrade somewhere else. And that's kind of the tough part about the trade deadline in general is, let's say you go out and get Eberle, right? And then, you know, whether Fogle's there or not, what if it doesn't work? What if you run into the same question that you just asked of, oh man, he's not working with Draisaitl? Then what? And so maybe that'd be a nice reason to keep Fogle.
Yeah, I think that's where I come out on that, is I'd prefer to just keep Fogle, use the logic of an internal rental or whatever the hell you want to say. And he's an insurance policy. You know, he works to an extent with Leon Draisaitl. It gives you a little bit of lineup flexibility. I think I would try, like, again, if it's about getting the money, you can give up a fourth round pick and get a third party broker to keep some money to make whatever trade you want to make work. Like, even a Gensel at six, get it twice retained, give up that fourth round pick. You can squeeze him in by burying Janmark in the minors, more or less. So I think I would be out on the idea of just losing that layer of depth up front.
And it's not like Fogle makes five, right? Mm-hmm. It's not commensurate to his play for the most part, but it's not egregious.
Yeah. Let's take a trip down the QE2, Frank, and talk a little bit about what the Calgary Flames could get up to in the next few weeks here. They've moved on from Zadorov. They moved on from Lindholm. It sounds like Hanifin and Tanev are going to be the next two pieces out the door. But earlier this week on Daily Faceoff Live, you talked about the possibility of trading Jacob Markstrom and just how close a deal potentially got. Is he trending towards lock territory to be moved ahead of the deadline?
No, he's not. I think I'd be real curious to see what the market looks like after New Jersey. As you mentioned, I did report that the Devils and Flames were way far down the track on a deal for Markstrom. It got scuttled at the very end, at the finish line, and don't know why, but I think the goalie market is such a perplexing one that when you look at teams that desperately need help and are craving real stability, like some of the teams that need help are just looking for temporary stopgap solutions. Like, I don't think in the long haul, the Carolina Hurricanes are looking for someone to come in to be their 1A for the foreseeable future. Like, I think they're still big believers in Pyotr Kochetkov to at least be part of that solution. The Colorado Avalanche, they have Alexander Georgiev to be their starter. They're just looking for a backup. When you get outside of New Jersey, how many of those teams are hungry for someone that has term like Markstrom does? And that's, I think, the big question mark that I think makes his market somewhat limited.
Interesting. Yeah, I think, I mean, you did it today on your mock trades. I think a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, Carolina, second, third round pick, whatever the cost might be, boom, they got their guy for the next 2-3 months, and then they can reevaluate things later on this summer. But the
people didn't like this deal. They were like, well, they only traded a second for him a few years ago, probably only worth a third. I got some comments, but the Canes have an extra second round pick. And you know that if that were to happen, you know that that's what the Wild would be shooting for, is one of those extra late second round picks.
Just quickly back on the Flames, you had that.
And I was crushed. I was going to say, sorry. And I was crushed on my proposal for the Rangers and Adam Henrique.
Capo Caco, like, I understood where you were coming from. I think he's one of those prospects now where his name is just more famous than his value is, right? Like, it throws it off a little bit because we hear Capo Caco and we're like, oh my God. But you made the point today, like, he's almost at 300 games or whatever. Like, do we not kind of know Capo Caco is not going to be a star?
I couldn't agree more. Like, I think if you were to take away his, you know, cover up his name and just present the stats, remove his second overall pick status from five drafts ago, you know, he's probably someone that slots out at like 7 to 13 goals a year and 35 points like that. I mean, that right now, that's all he is. I think it's kind of clear that last year's 40 point year is a bit of an aberration. So to me, I think you could understand though why the Ducks would be intrigued to find out more. And the original market price, I think, for Henrique is a first round pick based on what Sean Monahan just went for, a late first. But I was told that the Ducks are willing to accept a second, a third, and then an additional third to retain half. Well, the Rangers don't have third round picks until 2026. So I was like, how do I find a way to make this work for someone who I think is clearly a fit for the Rangers, who definitely need a third line center? Kako to me makes sense. And then the second, and people are like, what about just Kako straight up? Like, Adam Henrique is already outproducing that by a wide margin. Like, and he's a center. Why would you think that these two guys are equal, even with the age disparity?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Rangers, win now mode. I think there's a bunch of teams in the East that should be looking at this deadline, looking at their surroundings. I mean, like, whoa, you know, Florida's maybe looking like a high-end team, but I don't know if I'd call Florida a juggernaut. Like, in the West, there's a whole bunch of them. In the East, there's none. I think that should lead to teams like the Rangers and even the Maple Leafs sitting there and going, hey, let's push our chips in again this year. Let's try to take another run at this thing, because we might get some easy matchups or easier matchups relative to past seasons in rounds one and two. Like, the Leafs shouldn't be sitting there scared of having to go through a Tampa this year.
And I actually flirted with a team like the Panthers when it came to Jake Guentzel, because you could see why having Jake Guentzel come in on your second line opposite of Matthew Tkachuk and you know, you could see that working and why that would be an elite force to be reckoned with when it comes to the playoffs and having him sub in for Nick Cousins. It makes sense. I just couldn't get there in terms of assets. Like, they don't have a first round pick until 2026. I know that the Penguins aren't going to be on, you know, a hurry up timeline to rebuild their team, but 2026, like, you're looking at 2030 before that first round pick is an impact guy, if he is one at all. You're going to want to try and recoup first round picks for this year, 2024, because you don't have one from the Carlson trade. So I just, some teams I couldn't find a way to make it work.
Yeah. Okay, Frank, we're going to wrap this up. I promised the YouTube chat I'd throw one of their questions your way. The inbox Q&A is for Great Clips with more than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada. Great Clips is the world's largest hair salon brand and official hair salon of the NHL. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Squishy is in, Frank, and wants to know, maybe they heard this on Morning Cup of Hockey, if the Canes aren't willing to sign Brett Pesce, would they be willing to move him?
Nope. I think the Flames are in contender mode. Or sorry, not the Flames, Canes. The Canes. They have not, to my knowledge, had substantive discussions with Brett Pesce. I think it's very, very likely that he ends up going to market this summer. And in the meantime, they're not even all crazy excited to move Tony DeAngelo from an insurance perspective. And he's been a healthy scratch, something like 20 some of the last 30 games. So he's sat for a long time, a guy that has like almost 100 points the last two seasons as a defenseman. He's just sat there. So it gives you some indication, I think, the DeAngelo aspect of it, of what exactly the Canes are thinking. They're not, I don't think they're moving pieces in and out. I think they're real comfortable with their defense core. And I think if anything, the thing they have to address, as you mentioned with Marc-Andre Fleury, is their goaltending, 30th in the league in save percentage. Like, good luck.
Yeah. All right. There you go. For Great Clips, find out more at greatclips.com. Frank, 20 minutes flew by as it always does. Thanks for doing this.
See you guys.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, Frank Cervalli on the Star Mechanical guest line. Liam, what'd you think? Anything from Frank stand out? I'm going to have another bite of my apple.
So I'll cover the show for the next 3 minutes then, I suppose. Anything stand out from Frank? The Fogel stuff is interesting. Like, a lot of people were saying, it's like, why would you want to get rid of Fogel? And like, my point isn't to get rid of Fogel. I think he's obviously a valuable piece to this team. But if you can upgrade on him and, you know, he makes 375 or whatever it is, that's, you can get two players for that, right? Like, I think he's just an intriguing piece coming into the deadline. So yeah, it's going to be busy. Frank's a busy man right now.
All right, let's move along with the show. Aaron, do we have all of Frank's mock trades available for us? Yes, I'm going to assume we do. If we do, then they are going to be the topic of today's Service Credit Union Big Share Program. It's back for a sixth year, and it's your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. The mock trades we give you are fake. The money at Service Credit Union, it's real. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. For every $500 you save, you get 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service for your chance at $1 million. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Here's what we're going to do, Liam. Yep. I'm going to give you all of Frank's mock trades from today. You're going to tell me which one you would like to see happen the most. So we'll start with this one. Chris Tanev to the Dallas Stars. The deal, it's a second round pick in 2024 that could become a first if Dallas reaches the Western Conference Final. Tanev, a guy the Oilers could have interest in. I would imagine the big difference maker here between what the Oilers could offer and the Stars is, you know, locking up both your second and first rounder. I'm not sure if the Oilers would love both of those. The next deal we got, just keep flipping through them, maybe. We'll work our way through all these bad boys. Jake Guentzel and Alex Nedeljkovic for two first round picks and a third round pick. Guentzel going to the Avs at 50% retained, but it cost them two firsts and a third in that deal. The third one we got up here is Noah Hanifin and Andrew Mangiapane, a blockbuster. Mangiapane, one more year on that deal. The Leafs would get him 50% retained. A first, a third, a fifth. Ryan Reeves to make the money work. And two of Toronto's better prospects in Nick Robertson and Topi Niemelä. So a massive deal there between the Flames and the Leafs is the one Frank threw together. And then Marc-Andre Fleury for a second rounder. You already saw that one. I think you saw Adam Henrique for Kaapo Kakko and a second as well. We're going to leave the Eberle one off to the side because it involves the Oilers. Liam, out of those five deals Frank threw together, which one do you think has the best chance of happening?
Well, the best chance of happening, I could see the Adam Henrique one having a realistic possibility. And I think the Noah Hanifin one is the other one I would put as my top two. I mean, they're all very realistic, aren't they? I could see Colorado kind of splashing the cash a little bit to go on and get Guentzel, but I think those two are the maybe more realistic. I really hope the Chris Tanev one doesn't happen to Dallas because that they're already a pretty big threat to the Oilers with or without him. So, yeah, I would like to see that one as an Oilers one. And you said that you don't think the Oilers would want to lock up their first and second. I think if you have the option of, you know, that's your last trade maybe, and you're like, you know what, we can get Tanner for this, I could definitely see them just being willing to pull the trigger at that point, right? But I would assume they have other business done before they made a deal like that.
Yeah, and that's where I was kind of going with it, was if you're going to jump the market on Tanev and get him in the next 10 days here, and that's the deal it takes, if you're the Oilers, do you want to lock up both your second and your first before you've done anything else? Unless you're very confident that next year's first and Xavier Borgo can like get you the forward help that you would need. But just quickly back to the Eberle one, since we can chew into that for a couple of minutes before we move along on the show. I like this. And listen, I know Tyler Mulick's been in the chat and a few other people are saying, you know, Lavoie is going to be on this team next year. You need to, you know, keep a spot for him. I think something that could make this deal interesting is if you have a bit of a conversation with Jordan Eberle beforehand, if Seattle gives you that ability and you go, hey man, like, what do you think a deal looks like in the summer? What's a 2-year contract look like for you to come in and maybe wrap up your career as an Oiler? Like, if Eberle really wants a reunion and he's willing to give you the kind of wink, like, I'll extend for like $3 million next season, you can just transfer that Warren Fogle money to me, then I'm really inclined to do this deal because I think there's a chance he's more than a 1-year fit with the Oilers. Like Guentzel, you'd never be able to afford. Toffoli, I don't think you would sign again if he was available. But Eberle, I'm willing to do this, one, because I don't think it's an insane price. Raphael Lavoie cleared waivers 3 months ago. And two, I think Eberle can fit for longer than 1 year.
Yeah, I am I'm intrigued by this deal a lot. What, I'll be honest, the one thing I don't like, which isn't really a deal breaker for me, I just don't like it, is how much depth the Oilers would lose in this deal. You know, like obviously Eberle comes in and your right side then becomes what? Hyman, Eberle, Fogle, and Perry. And that's obviously very, very good. But I think losing a, like I've said, we've both said, yeah, Mark should be in the American League right now. But if something happens in the playoffs, it's nice to have the insurance of, okay, we can call up Lavoie or Janmark instead of calling up, I don't know, Tulio and Greg the Egg McKeg or something like that, right? Like it just adds another layer. But also, if this was a deal, I wouldn't be sat there crying over those two. The retained 50% on Lavoie is, I mean, an interesting part of this. What did Frank explain why that was involved?
I think it was just because like the value of Eberle is a first, the value of keeping 50% of the contract, like even if you think Eberle is a little bit less than a first, the value of keeping 50% is probably Lavoie, right? It's to get Seattle, give Seattle something so that they're willing to keep the money.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be too fussed about it. I think Lavoie is going to be a good NHL player eventually, but how long is that going to be, right? Like you said, like, it'd be great to have Lavoie on this team and have another homegrown player involved within this team throughout the successful years that they're hopefully going to have. But also, it's Raphael Lavoie. He's cleared waivers twice this season.
Yeah. The other thing too with Janmark, I do think the more likely thing there, and it probably makes the deal, it's a small thing, but it's easier to stomach. I would waive him. And if you can get him down to Bakersfield, then you get that cap relief anyways. And then come playoff time, he can be one of your black aces. He can come up when the salary cap's not a thing anymore. ML says replace Lavoie with Brown in that trade. I don't see a reason for Seattle to even want to do that. They would want someone with upside, not Connor Brown. So I don't know. Dry says we don't need Lavoie. I don't get you guys sometimes. Like, I like Raphael Lavoie. Again, he could be an NHLer one day, but if that's what it's going to take to get an upgrade, like, I'm not sitting here and avoiding a Jordan Eberle trade because I'm worried about losing a guy who was on waivers 3 months ago and no one wanted. Like, you got to think about the now. And if I'd rather move Lavoie than Bourgault, right?
We also just said we would trade him, so I'm not sure what the option is there. I mean, look, he's got a promising career out of him, but at the end of the day, the Oilers are trying to win a cup now, not 5 years.
He potentially has a promising career ahead of him. Like, we've done this song and dance before with Tyler Benson and other guys on and on and on. Like, they're going to be an NHLer next year. They're going to be an NHLer next year. They're going to be an NHLer next year. And now they're in wherever, right? Like, sometimes, I don't know. I don't think the Oilers are in a spot where they can be hugging a prospect like Raphael Lavoie, considering the fact he hasn't broken into the league yet. I like him. I still think he can. That door is still open, but I'm not letting it prevent me from doing this kind of a deal. Okay, let's move along because we're quickly getting towards the end of the show. We do need to get to Liam's game for Nation Gear. Head to nationgear.ca to not just stock up with the latest swag and apparel from Oilers Nation, but you can also get your tickets to our BOA watch party at Greta coming up in 10 days on the 24th. It is going to be a good time. Nothing better than a Saturday night BOA drink specials, food specials. Everything is happening down at Greta. And if you can beat me at the football game, giddy up. I'll buy you a beer. We also have brunch for Ben coming up March 3rd, I believe is the date on that. You can get your tickets to that at nationgear.ca as well. Proceeds going to the Ben Stelter Foundation. It's an afternoon game against the Seattle Kraken. That is also going to be a good time with prizes to be won and more. So there you go. Brunch for Ben and a BOA watch party all happening at Greta. The tickets are at nationgear.ca. If you don't know how Liam's game works, blah, here's what happens. Liam's got two mystery players. He's going to give you the clues. The first player is an easy one. If you're the first person to get the easy player, you're entered into the draw. The second player is a hard one. If you're one of the first three people to get the hard player, you are also entered into the draw. We spin the prize wheel and one person goes home with $25 to Nation Gear. With all that being said, Liam, let me hear it.
Hello. Okay, let's pull it up, Aaron. I am a former first-round pick by Edmonton. I played for three NHL teams. I've almost scored 700 points, and I am still in the league.
Still in the league. Cogliano's played for too many teams for it to be him. Mm-hmm. First round pick of the Oilers. So it's got to be somewhat recent. Oh, I think I know who it is. I think I got my guess. Did someone already get it in the chat?
Yes.
Got it real quick, too. Who was the first one in there?
I think Wise Kyle.
Wise Kyle. Jordan Eberle is the answer for Jordan today's Eberle easy player. A nice little warm up. It got the chat going too. Everyone's throwing it in there. Taylor Hall, I think. Yeah, Taylor Hall's played for too many teams for that to be him because he was an Oiler, a Devil, a Yote, a Saber, a Bruin, and a Blackhawk. Six teams for Hall.
Oh, wow. Six. I forgot he was a Blackhawk.
Yeah. All right. There you go. That's the easy one. Let's go. Yeah. Lance says it was too easy. So maybe you got to crank up the difficulty there, Liam.
Well, I did Cody Ceci a couple of weeks ago and no one got it. So what do you want?
There. Kate, hard player. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. I played almost 700 games in my NHL career for five different teams. My final pro season was in Europe. I played three seasons in Edmonton, but didn't score in my final two. I am a Memorial Cup winner.
Whew.
700 games in my career for five different teams. My final pro season was in Europe. I played three seasons in Edmonton, but didn't score in my final two. Someone guessed Perlini. There's no way it's Perlini. Toby Reeder didn't play two final seasons in Edmonton, so I don't think it could be him.
I also don't think he's a Memorial Cup winner.
So you lied?
No, like Toby Reeder. I know.
Oh, Toby Reeder. Oh. I was like, what? What are you talking about? Is that a good guess? Oh, that might be a good guess. Oh, I'm going to fact check that one guess that I saw come in.
Okay.
Did he score in his phone? Oh, yeah, that's a good guess. People are getting it. People are getting it. One. This is always the worst part of the segment when it's just me and you scrolling through. And you saw the one person, two people. Oh, there we go. We got three.
Yeah, we got the three. Maybe I did it too easily today.
The answer was one Jason Strudwick.
Yes.
There you go. Struddy was the answer for our mystery player of the day. Lance Kane, Blank Project, and someone
else. Was it Lance Kane?
Lance was in there early on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It wasn't Blank Project. It was Soup. I had Soup based Ekholm and Lance Kane. I'll put Blank Project in there anyway, since we said his name.
Yep. There we go. All right.
Okay. Yeah, so it's all five of you along with. So it's Wise Kyle, Soup based Ekholm, the Blank Project, and Lance Kane. Here we go.
Spin the wheel, Liam, for $25 station here. I think you can use these to get the tickets too. I don't know, maybe not.
Soup.
Who is it?
Soup. Soup. Congratulations, Soup. You are the winner. $25 to nationgear.ca. What do you need to do? Email me, Tyler@thenationnetwork.com. Say, I am Soup. I am the winner. And I will get you hooked up with the GC. Email Tyler@thenationnetwork.com. So we can get that prize in your hands. Owen says he misses the laptop.
Well, here's a funny thing. My new laptop isn't working. You may have noticed my camera shut off twice today. So I had to go to my other laptop and now I had to use my phone. Luckily for me, I have endless electronics in this house. Do any of them work? Sometimes.
Good man. All right. The menu for our friends at DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. It's up at the top of your screen. It's Valentine's Day tonight. Liam, you and I both have special ladies we need to treat. So we're ordering DoorDash. That's the play, right? Neither of us are good enough cooks to actually do anything.
I rarely cook because I cannot. So yes, DoorDash is always the play for me on Valentine's Day every year.
Mm-hmm. I actually do. I cook quite a bit. Made a nice steak dinner yesterday.
2 a.m.
I know. I'm sorry. You know what? It's Wednesday. Not a ton going on. But what you should do if you're watching this video and you're looking for some more content, go watch yesterday's edition of The Notebook with Coombsy, Zach Lang, our boy Aaron, and it's all produced by our intern Eli, who's doing a great job. So everyone tell Eli that he's doing great. But go watch the latest edition of The Notebook. Some good gritty hockey talk in there from our two of our lead writers at OilersNation.com, and AB keeps it all on the rails. We are going to wrap up the show today with some reviews. And you know what, Leo? I'm going to say our reviews are brought to you by Betway. Why not? Why not brought to you by Betway? 19 plus, please play responsibly. I nailed my Evan Bouchard shot prop last night. I did a couple of those pre-built bets. I had a good night over on Betway. Shout out to the Oilers and that 8-goal explosion.
Yeah, I had a dry over a point and a half, a Van de Kane goal, the puck line, and I did sneak in a Perry goal at plus 500. Unfortunately, that one didn't hit, but 3 for 4 ain't bad. That'll pay the bills.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Shout out to Betway. Liam, remember, you can leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts, right? That's where we're going for these?
Yeah, I don't know how to find them on Spotify, so just Apple.
Yep, that is fair. So leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts. It's a nice little hat tip to us, to all of our podcast listeners of the show, because they do things like sit through the lead, which quite often makes zero sense at all. Liam, let's go to the reviews. AB, we might need them full screen. Do you want me to read them or do you want to read them?
I'll read them.
Yep. It's just so funny.
From Oil Country 90, a 2-star review. Can they be serious? tried listening on one of the first episodes. They talked about trading Crosby to Edmonton. What a joke, LOL. Thank you, Jay, for this one. I'm going to maybe blame this one, but this is also me with the red M&M at the M&M store in London. There you go.
Thanks, Jay. Next one.
You take this one since you're in.
5 stars. One of my favorites for sure. From Nurse for Norris. Love how much you guys value Nurse. It's refreshing in the Oilers fandom, especially for me, who owns his jersey. And a picture of a nice refreshing Caesar to go along with this review as well. So shout out to Nurse for Norris for leaving us a nice little 5-star.
That was at our golf tournament. I know what you're wondering. Yes, that is a grilled cheese on top of my Caesar. Mm. Oh boy, this one. From Papa
Boulanger,
my apologies. Critical Eye of a Homer. Oilers Nation every day is a must listen if you're an Oilers fan. Great guests, decent knowledge, and lukewarm takes make this podcast a campy guilty pleasure. Liam is clearly an AI projection Tyler built, but he's amazing all the same. My only criticism is the inconsistency of the upload of the podcast. I get it's a YouTube show, but some days it's about 1:05. Another days it's not till 7 p.m. Love the pod regardless. So those are all good.
So when you leave a review, Liam will find a photo to pair with it. I like how they gave us 5 stars. They're like, hey, the show's good. Knowledge is decent. All right.
And lukewarm takes. I appreciate that one. Yeah, that's a 5-star. Most of them are 5 stars, which is nice. But I don't leave a 1 or 2-star review and then leave a nice comment. If you want to give a 1 or 2-star review, that's fine. But I think those ones are funny. Someone left another one the other week, which was a 1-star. The ones we get for Oilers Nation Radio about Rick are special.
Yeah, they're pretty funny. So you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The 5-star reviews do help us in the eyes of the many algorithms. Same thing as when you hit the like button here. So if you enjoy the show, like, leave a review, drop a comment, make sure you're subscribed, all of that fun stuff, because it allows us to keep doing the show and not get fired. There you go. There's your reviews for our friends at Betway 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Tomorrow, Liam, back with another Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. And people get a double dose of us tomorrow because we're coming back and doing a watch party. It's an ON Everyday watch along live on the Oilers Nation YouTube for the game against St. Louis tomorrow night. And it's all brought to you by Betway. So we're going to be watching the game together tomorrow.
Yep. Well, Liam and Tyler and friends. I don't know who the friends will be, but we will rotate somebody through, I suppose. Last time people just kind of jumped in the chat and the next thing you know, they're on the show.
You should, you know, maybe not tomorrow, but in the future, it would be funny if you came to my house and we watched it on my couch and set up the camera.
That would be good. You've never invited me over. We can, you know,
tomorrow maybe. I know you're busy, but
I can mix it in. I do have to do After Dark tomorrow as well. So.
Oh, well then maybe not, because I don't have to do After Dark. So I want to go to bed.
Well, I can't just hang out.
Maybe we'll do After Dark from my couch.
Yeah, you can go to bed. I'll just let myself out. I'll lock the door. Just give me a key.
All right. Okay, that's a wrap on today's edition of the program. We'll be back tomorrow, Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. That means Jay's going to be around and we'll get set for hopefully a second straight Oilers victory. Shout out to everyone in the YouTube chat today. You were excellent. We'll be back tomorrow, noon Mountain Time. Chat with you then.